We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, who manages the SEO team at Sear Interactive. John.
Ross.
We're both having a wonderful day.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week altogether.
I know.
I mean, people got all up in their panties in a bunch about this whole paid linking thing. It's been fun reading all the people just pulling their hair out over something we've known has been going on for years.
I know. It's always the way. It's just because someone got their pants pulled down. And that's,
yeah. But it's fun.
Pants. So there you go. Yep. That's what happens. Okay, what we're talking about here, for anyone who doesn't know, and you can't be blamed. I mean, it's certainly made a lot of noise, but only in our industry, really, unless you read the New York Times.
that definitely expanded out beyond our industry since it was a 6-page article in the New York Times.
Well, they're the ones who broke the
right.
news.
Right, exactly.
So it's all about JCPenney. Someone tipped off the New York Times. Gotta wonder, like they say, whether or not it was a competitor. And they took JCPenney to task. Pretty much, they got a quote unquote expert to check out what they've been doing for marketing and found they had bought a ton. I mean, that's an understatement. A ton of links to get top rankings for everything. Like, just it's amazing how many they had. They had pants. They had dresses. You know, these are one-word phrases.
Yeah.
That does not happen easy.
The one that got me was area rugs. I had a client in my previous life who was a carpet manufacturer. And, of course, doing all the kind of research, area rugs is the number one term in all the whole carpet industry. And it's like tons and tons and tons of volume, highly competitive. And we worked for a long time trying to get that. It was hard. But Penny's had number one for that because of their bot links.
I know. And one thing I did, and I posted this on SEO 101 podcast page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/SEO101podcast. And I did a quick markup of one of the pages from the New York Times article, and it's just too funny. JCPenney, of course, being quite careful in their response, says, oh, yeah, sure, you know, these links helped us, but it was hardly bonanza, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Everyone, they had number one for things like dresses. I mean, come on. Anyway, so I thought it was pretty funny. So I looked at the rest of it, underlined a few things. One thing was that a keyword estimator of Google, blah, 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 you know, everyone, you know, the keyword estimator tool suggested that for dresses alone, Penny could have been attracting 3.8 million visits every month. If it showed up as number one. Well, that's quite a few visits. That's just for one phrase.
One term.
And then it said, I love this, but then they go back and they say, but in January, the company was crowing about its online holiday sales. So
you think?
Just doing some, yeah, exactly.
Well, they did say in that article that they only get 7% of their sales from search traffic.
Yeah.
Which to me seems like a pretty low percentage overall from e-commerce, unless they're doing a whole bunch of other types of marketing. But 7%, but still 7% is a huge chunk of money when you're dealing with the kind of revenue that Penny's is dealing with online.
Yeah. I mean, for example, at its peak, let's see here. Sorry, that was Big Book. I was trying to see something here. It said, at its peak, the catalog, Big Book catalog, brought in $4 billion in revenue. 2009, the site brought in 1.5. So things are going down, and they've got a lot of pressure. But, you know, JCPenney posted $17.8 billion in 2001.
Yeah.
So 7% of that's pretty big.
Okay, here's the question. And, of course, Brasco will want to state, you know, that the opinions of the host are not necessarily opinions of webmasterradio.fm. But do you think Penny's new or not? Do you really think they had no idea that their search company, who we won't mention, but SearchDex's name, but do you really think they didn't know?
Oh, no, they had to have known.
I've dealt with a lot of big companies, and if we were doing anything they didn't know about, they would just throw a hissy fit. So they want to know everything we do and why we do it and what the potential results are, what the real results are, and what would have happened if we would have done it differently. They want to know all that information. If Penny says they didn't know, it's my personal opinion that they're blowing smoke big time.
Well, and just to do the quick calculations here, 7% of 7.8 billion is 1.2 billion in sales from online.
Yeah.
Billion.
Okay, so it's a little chunk of change. And just think you could get by with only a link building budget of maybe 100 million to make that happen and still be profitable. So how would you like to have $100 million just to do link building?
Oh man, it just makes me want to cry. But you know what? The one thing is, I just hope that, you know, I'm not about black hat and all that, but you know, a company is going to do something for them. I'm sure they were smart enough. They had something in their contract saying, you know,
I don't know about it. I don't agree
that
for a second, because they were obviously stupid enough to ignore the number one indicator that you're doing paid linking is non-relevant links. All the links, like vast majority of links that they bought and pointed to JCPenney stuff, were on non-relevant sites using non-relevant target phrases on those pages. And, you know, I mean, pages about playing poker pointing links to dresses, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. I'm saying that I was hoping they're smart enough to have something back themselves up.
What I'm saying is if they're dumb enough to open their door to that kind of, you know, that kind of linking that's not going to be really effective, it's going to leave them wide open for discovery. They're dumb enough not to put that in their contract. You know what I'm saying? But I take that back, because I have read some about SearchDeck, and there's some really smart guys there. They just made really bad mistakes, or, you know, we don't know that either. Maybe Penny's pushed them into doing this. Who knows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they did, I'm just hoping they have enough protection for themselves, because, you know, it all takes is one person to say, yeah, go for it. We're okay.
Yeah.
The funniest thing
for me, for many years in my life, my favorite / worst holiday of the year is my Ides of March. You know, when I was in a band in high school and wrote a song all about the Ides of March and how evil it was. And it's really funny song. I have to get it for you someday. Russ, let you hear it. But if you go to SearchDex's website and you look at their news section, the last post they have on their news section was from 2009 about how they just re-signed the JCPenney contract. And that post was from March 15th on the Ides of March. So
2007.
Was it 7? Yeah, it was a while ago.
And that's why, and I don't think that is the last one. I think that's purposeful because it says search. I've got it open here now. Searchdex.com/news_2007.shtml. No, I mean, it seems odd. Seems like it's for me, I think it's a smart ploy. Go back and make that your primary page. People see that JCPenney signed again and again and again.
That's interesting thought. Well, the one before is from February 2007. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, it's the 2007 page they've got showing there as their primary page for the news area. I don't know. It just seemed convenient.
Yeah, but then they would have had to delete all the other ones because they have the index of the news and it only goes from 2001 to 2007. So there's nothing beyond that. Yeah. But it's possible for sure. And then, of course, Barry at Search Engine Roundtable found out through the Google News forums, or not news, the Google Webmaster forums, that Forbes got busted for selling links last week as well. So JCPenney's got busted for buying links, and Forbes.com got busted for selling links same week. So it's like this big thing. It's just nuts. And I've personally known for quite some time that Forbes was a link publisher for one or two of those link buying networks. Forbes did issue a statement on their website either yesterday or the end of last week. This is airing on Monday, saying that no, we don't do that. We used to sell links on our site. We stopped it a while ago. The page that they referenced was an old page, an old version of our site that shouldn't have still been live. Hmm. So, and they showed this is the old one. This is what we look like now, and it made sense. Their excuse was much better than Penny's.
Exactly. And one of the things I thought was pretty funny was that it came – one of the links – they found a guy who had willingly put this link on his page, and I guess they did their sourcing from there. And it came from a website called TNX.net, which pays this guy, Mr. Chemical, to add links to his page in exchange for the clicks and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, anyway, you just bet you do not want to be TNX. You know, Google's looking at them hard.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, we got a couple more things about this, and we're going to talk about some of the questions we have on the Facebook blog as our Facebook page as well. But let's take a quick break first.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use certifiedknowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Public relations professionals understand the importance of branding. Invest in your next ad campaign with one of the premier branding innovators broadcasting on air and on demand to the internet business world, webmasterradio.fm. Let our team customize your branding to target public relations professionals that access our public relations channel every day. Contact sales at webmasterradio.fm for a consultation today.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-server solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Advance your affiliate marketing efforts every week on Affiliate Buzz. Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel only on webmasterradio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, who manages the SEO team at Sear Interactive, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Before the break, we were discussing the JCPenney affair with Google. Sounds like a movie or something, doesn't it?
Can we call it paid link gate or something like that?
There's been other ones bigger than this. I guess not, though, eh?
Well, BMW got taken down. It wasn't for paid linking, though. They had some other kind of spammy stuff going on a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I know for a fact, and I'm no way I'm mentioning names right now, but there are a couple bigger sites than JCPenney's that are doing this. And I know there's bigger sites than Forbes that are selling links. So there could definitely be some interesting things show up in the news if those other sites get busted like these guys did.
They just need to be shown off somewhere very publicly.
I know. So I'm coming out of the cave and I'm actually writing an article. I haven't written in so long, but one of the things I love about being here at Sear is I actually have time to write again. And I'm writing an article that's going to be published Monday, which is today when this episode's airing. Give you a hint, the title is All SEOs Do Paid Linking and Google Doesn't Care. And that's the truth.
I can't wait to read it. It sounds good. And you guaranteed that Matt Cutts would agree.
And he will agree. I almost promise.
I think with a few caveats, probably.
Yes. First getting him to read it in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. I think that might just get his attention. Yes. So what else about this? There's something else I was trying to figure. Mr. Cutts said he did not plan to write about the JCPenney situation as he did with BMW in 2006. Rarely, he explained, does he single out a company publicly because Google's goal is to preserve the integrity results, not to embarrass people. But just because we don't talk about it, he says, doesn't mean we won't take strong action. And as a result, they did a manual update. So again,
Both, actually. It was really interesting from what he said in his response to all this was that they had already made algorithm changes to address what was going on at JCPenney's before this even came out. And because it came out, they went ahead and did a manual adjustment as well, even though the algorithmic changes were already starting to take effect. So they had already seen this.
They'd already seen it many times before, though, like a couple times before, quite a while ago. And they did not circle around to check again.
Yep.
So there's this show here at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. JCPenney was the number one result for Samsonite carry-on luggage. 2 hours later, it was number 71. Yeah. Ouch.
So there's the 50 penalty. That must be a 70 penalty. So we got to come up with a name for this one, too. The JCPenney penalty. The JC penalty. Yeah.
Hey, that's perfect. JC penalty. I love it. Yep. There, it's coined here by Matt. There you go, John Carcutt. Perfect. Okay, so I guess we should move on. What do you think? What about links? How do you feel about buying links? Let's just start with that.
So I actually have a very interesting history with this whole buying link thing because of my association with my last company. I don't know if everybody knows, but I was the director of organic search for MediaWiz. But MediaWiz, as a company, owns TextLink Ads, like the original, the largest link brokerage service out there. And before I went to work for MediaWiz, I had never bought a link, never considered buying a link, and would not do it. When I got to MediaWiz, I didn't have a choice. It was like, this is one of our properties. This is one of our resources. Use it. And going through that process, I had to try to justify myself. I said, why am I doing this? Do I quit? Do I keep doing this? Is there a way to do this that I can handle from an ethical standpoint? And I've come to realize that, while I was justifying it to myself while I was there, now that I'm gone, I'm really glad I don't have to do that anymore. Really, really glad I don't have to do that anymore. I did give me an education that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So I kind of appreciate it from that standpoint, where I had to learn how to do it effectively without putting my clients in danger. I forced myself to figure out every possible way that this could be a problem for my clients, you know, how they would get busted, how something like that happened to JCPenney's, I didn't want to happen to my clients. So from that, it was a really good learning experience, but it's not something that I recommend to do at all. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I'm going to say in my blog post, is that we're all link buyers. If somebody hires an SEO to do a link building campaign, if they pay you money to use your knowledge and resources, they're buying links. Mm-hmm. So every SEO buys links.
You give away the punchline.
I know, but it's an important thing. It's important for people to understand that there's a line that Google draws, saying they understand that there's no way in the world, and I think the quote in the article is, not within the realm of possibility that everybody's links will be 100% organic. And Google knows that. They understand that people are going to ask for help. They're going to hire people. They're going to bring resources and pay money in-house to do it. So it's not going to be 100% organic. But somewhere they draw a line and say, okay, buying a link on a directory is okay. Hiring somebody to go get links for you is okay. But buying a link through a link brokerage service like TLA or Conductor or many of the other ones out there is a problem. We don't like that because it's automated. So there's a line in the sand they draw that as SEOs, we have to know where that line is and not cross it.
Yeah, once don't blatantly game them. That's all.
Exactly. Once you cross that line, you get into trouble like SearchDex did with JCPenney's.
Yeah. I would love to find out what's happening over there. It can't be a very positive situation, but what? I don't think they're hurting, so unless JCPenney decides to take them to task, who knows?
They fired him like the day after.
Well, yeah, they'd have to for pure visuals.
I'd like to know how their other clients are. Are they losing clients left and right? Because they had some pretty big clients. If you go look at the top SEOs, if you go look at their profile, they show some of their other clients, and they had people like The Gap and other major clients. And, I hope, A, that they're not doing the same thing with those clients, and B, that they're not losing all their business and going out of business because they made a mistake, or that they had a client force them into a mistake. And, they should have the opportunity to recover from it, for sure.
Oh. I got to read this. This is good.
Uh-oh.
Search desk, best practices. This is their ethical mandate.
Yeah,
our search solutions are developed and implemented using the highest standards of practice in the industry, following all published guidelines and standards set by search engines.
Ooh. Yeah. That's kind of a little problematic, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Anyways, I wish them luck. I don't like to see anyone get completely bashed. I hope things go well.
I hope both Penny's and SearchDex learn from this, that A, whichever one was the main force behind making this happen, that they made a mistake and that they won't do it again for anybody for any reason. And B, the other one that was pushed into doing it learns that they shouldn't get pushed into doing it.
It's not worth it is what it comes down to. And, even if they'd done that, okay, I'm going to say this, even if they just bought the links on sites that were completely relevant, it wouldn't have got the client in trouble as easily anyway.
Agreed.
It would have been a lot harder to pick them out. And yeah, anyway, it's just silly how that all happened. So a lot of mistakes made. Well, you know what? Before we've got a few questions we're going to get into in Facebook, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll dig right into them. Thank you.
Nice.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
From domains to digital marketing, social media to blogging, you can reach this broad audience by using what you're listening to right now.
Reach the thousands of internet marketers that download and listen live to the premier on-air and on-demand podcast network, WebmasterRadio.fm, with the Internet Marketing Channel, featuring shows like The Joel Comm Show, The WordPress Community Podcast, and more. Our ad campaigns are fully integrated with multiple avenues of exposure, from slick, effective 30-second commercials to detailed, informative 30-minute town hall meetings. Expose your products and services to listeners and podcasters of not just shows like Market Edge and Domain Masters, but anyone looking for ways to market their business with your product. Contact sales at WebmasterRadio.fm to find out more.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
LPO, Landing Page Optimization, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with John Carcutt, who manages the SEO team at SEER Interactive, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. For the break, we were talking about the JC penalty. Love it still. That's a good one. and I'm going to be using that a lot. And now we're going to get into some Facebook questions. Now, you still didn't get into Google Web, did you, John?
Can you see him? Yeah, I can see him. I got it.
All right. Well, first one was a little bit, it was actually a response. I think, did you put this response in about PageRank's not the only metric to look at?
I did.
Okay. Well, I thought it was good. Why don't you just read it off and we'll just touch them again. Someone was mentioning about PageRank and building links.
Someone asked about how to tell, and we don't have the question here. I'm just going off of memory. How to tell if a page rank, if you use the page rank to measure whether it's a good link to get. So if you're looking at a page, do you look at its page rank to measure how good of a link that will be for your site? And basically, the answer on the Facebook, what I told him was that's only one thing to look at. And it's not even really the most important thing to look at when you're looking at how the quality of a page, the quality of a potential link partner is. Some other things to look at is how many links are on the page. If there's 200 links on that page, it's an issue. Is the page relevant? Just like we were just talking about with the JC penalty. The reason they got busted was because the pages that they were linking from were not relevant to the pages on their site. Relevancy is huge. Check to see if the page is cached in the engines. If it's not cached in a search engine, it's not worth getting a link on because the link won't count for you anyway. When was the last time it was crawled? If it hadn't been crawled in 4 or 5 months, getting your link on there probably won't matter anyway because it's not being crawled regularly. It may be a long time before your link even shows up and being valuable. Where would the link be on your page? Is it down in the footer with a bunch of other links? Is it in the body of the content? Is it in the header? You know, that plays a big role when deciding if it's a good link to get or not. I referenced a site, or actually it's a page, with a lot of great factors when it comes to linking. If everybody's familiar with Rand's algorithm factors thing on SEO Moz, where they talk to a bunch of SEOs and ask them what's important in the algorithm, and they rank them all based on the SEO's answers. Another site did the same thing. How do you pronounce that, Ross? Wipe? Weep?
Who knows? But it is on Facebook's, on our Facebook page, so people can check that out.
It's wiep.net/link-value-factors. It does the same thing. It talks to a bunch of different SEOs, asks them different questions about what's important in a link, and then ranks them based on all these different SEOs and their answers and how they weighted those questions. I mean, if you notice in that, on the section talks about on-page stuff is where they talk about the page rank. It was number 12 out of 14 different factors for just the on-page section. So page rank is not really the best factor to look at when you're evaluating where to put a link.
Yeah, I use it as a hint sometimes, only when extreme page rank differences, that's all. That's about it. So the next question is from Tyson Braun. He says, hi, guys. Love the show. Keep up the great work. I just listened to the show about creating new content for link building and completely agree with this approach. I'm a former journalist, and I can relate to the process of coming up with good content as coming up with a feature story. This is always an interesting there's always an interesting story to write. Anyways, I think most SEOs have a good handle on the importance of creating good content. But how do you two or anyone else go about getting people to actually link to it? And actually link, not just repurpose it for content forms. Thanks in advance, Tyson.
How do you do it, Russ?
Well, first of all, let me just read it again so I'm back in the headspace here. Importance of good, how do you actually get people to link to it? Well, I create good stuff. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, people find it through my networks. People get to know me, which means that they take a chance and tend to read my content, which is a wonderful thing. And then when they like it, they link to it and they go, hey, this is great. One good, really good way of doing it is creating a title, I find, that like the one you're talking about there, John, your title, it's bound to get people to link to it. It's just so unique and so interesting. And Twitter's going to get some definite attention for that. So I think a title does a lot. It says, check me out. Yeah. That's my first tip anyway. What's your next one?
I think what you were saying in the beginning is key. You have to have, I don't want to call it a followership, but you have to have people that come to read your stuff on a regular basis. And you have to have a community built around your content, whether it's all in one place or not. You know, you can seed your content out through like Twitter, like you just said, Ross. People will be interested and they'll tweet about it. Those kind of things get your content out. Once it's exposed, a percentage of that exposure will end up linking to it or writing about it and linking to it. There's no real, I'm going to go do these number of social bookmarks, I'm going to do this type of blog comment. There's no, you know, I don't have any set. These are the five things I do to make sure my stuff gets published. I build a followership, I build a readership, and let the community spread what's worthy of being spread, basically.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's certain places like in our industry, Spin, whatever you want to call it, where you can post mm-hmm. something and our industry gets a chance to rank it up. If they like it, they like it, and that gets you some more exposure. And I imagine there's similar things, probably not that many, but similar things in different industries. One thing that works well too is getting added to certain lists within Twitter. If you're noted as one of the SEOs, people just follow that, and that's a great way mm-hmm. to get some extra pairs of eyes on it. Facebook, getting some likes. You can even try paying to get some exposure for your articles for the first while to get people hooked. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There, it's actually interesting that this question comes up right now, because in the last couple of days, another thing that's happened is Google has changed the way socials and real-time search works within the organic algorithms. So if you're logged in, they will actually use your social grid, and up to one or two articles that people have tweeted or liked on Facebook, if I'm searching for link buying resources, just so I can go shoot them all down, of course. if Ross happened to tweet about some link buying resources the day before, in Google's organic search, like one of the first listings will say, it will show the result that Ross tweeted about, and underneath it will say, Ross Dunn tweeted this, you know, and it relates to your search query. I don't remember the exact phrasing, but basically it'll go and look at my social grid and see if anybody's talked about that topic that I'm searching for. And if somebody has that I know is one of my friends, they will put that in my organic search results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And a lot of people are saying, okay, it's time to clean out your followers or people you follow, because if you don't, you're going to get a lot of garbage in your results, which is, yeah. I think it's a good thing that's forcing us to do.
See, now something that we were discussing that here at Seer today, and a question that came up was, and I'm not sure the answer to this yet, maybe you know, Ross, is do they actually pull a new listing into the search results and say it came from one of your friends, or do they look and see if one of the listings happened to have already been referenced by one of your friends and just attach your friend's name to it? So do the actual search results change, or do they just say, here's the search result, it might have been position 4 or might have been position like 7 or 8, but they moved it up because one of your friends, but it still was on the first page to begin with? Or does it just come from out of nowhere?
Yeah, that would have to take some testing. I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point. It's too new for me anyway. I know it hasn't been a big deal for it's not that long. I mean, they've had elements of it in beta, but this is the first time I think they've really truly rolled it out. I bet there's still some beta aspects to it too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I thought it was a pretty interesting question. So thanks, Tyson. The next question, we're just going to go through this one fairly quickly here because we're almost out of time. But Charlie Davey says, "Hi, guys. Just started listening to your podcast. Great on the daily commute to and from work. Thank you. I hope we don't distract you and drive you off the road or anything like that. It wouldn't be good."
Yes. Ross would hate to be responsible for your death.
Yes. I'm just a guilty conscious kind of guy. Okay. Yeah. In your live episode Q&A's, you mentioned that you might do a live site review or analysis. Is this booked? I think it'd be really useful. I think I'd love to do that, actually. We just, I guess we keep talking about it. We never do it, so.
We should schedule that. Maybe we ought to have people submit sites they want to do. Just start a thread on the Facebook page, have people put some sites in, and then maybe we'll figure out a way for the community to vote on which one we do, or maybe we'll do it random or something. But I think if people put their stuff on the – maybe we'll start a Facebook thread on that. If we start putting sites in there, we'll pick from there. What do you think?
See how many people – I've got a theory that people are a little scared of doing that, and I can't blame them sometimes because they're afraid they're going to get embarrassed. But we're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to say, you know, this is what needs to be done, and, you know, just put it out there. We'll give you some free free advice. So.
Yeah, don't be afraid to put it on the Facebook page, because if you email it to us and we talk about it, everybody's going to hear about it anyway. So you might as well put it on the Facebook page.
And what the heck, let's take this last one here. It's from Richard Burkhart. He says, "Hey, guys, Google is placing so much emphasis on local these days that web-only sites are being punched in the gut with local results shoved down searchers' throats. How about some SEO suggestions or strategies, whatever, for web-only businesses to counter this? As always, thanks for the show." Richard, a good one.
Yeah, and that just got worse this week as well. This is very timely, Richard. Thanks for asking. He might not have asked this week, but one of the girls who works here just did an article on our blog about how if you're searching for products, what's happening now is if you see the image, the Google-based type of search section where you see the product universal element, they're actually showing other websites and other properties, but only the ones that have physical locations in the organic searches for that. So people with physical locations are now getting a huge boost over online-only retailers because of it, because of the way they're changing the organic search.
How things are changing.
I know.
I mean, how many changes can they do in a year? It's been a pretty intense year.
A year? It's only February.
A year from now to last year this time.
I'm talking about this month alone. How many changes can they do?
Yeah. They're trying to keep us on our toes, that's for sure.
I know. That's why I love this industry, because it's always something happening, something new to deal with.
We get bored silly. And also keeps us in a job.
That too.
So,
but to answer Richard's question, the answer to that question would have been different last week than it is this week.
Yeah. So, where do we begin? SEO tips for getting you there. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff is just a matter of plotting away and getting a bit more citations. This is local, right? So unless he's talking about organic, getting the organic up there and beating out local. I mean, that's kind of the debate there. Is that the question?
I don't know. He's talking about web-only businesses trying to counter local search. So I think it's the local search.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a web-only business, how do you compete with that? Because you can't really get into local search. And it's a good question. There was one interesting solution one of our clients had. They had not necessarily storefronts, but they had authorized dealers across the U.S. And so the store might have been something completely different, but they were an authorized dealer for this product. So what they did is they got the store to use their address and phone number for that product as an authorized dealer. So that there might be three or four, because you can have more than one business at the same address and phone number. Or same address, not necessarily phone number. You have more than one business at the same address. Like a mall might have 20 different businesses in it, all that have, you know, the same number one Main Street address. And you can actually go into local search and search for an address, and it'll show you there are these businesses at this address. So if you have authorized dealers that have their own physical locations, you can use those addresses for your Google Local.
And just say, sweet, 10.
You don't even have to say, you don't even have to do that. Just have a separate phone number. The business name can be separate, but you actually can use their physical address.
Hmm. I wonder. I guess depends on how that's used. That could be gray hat, black hat kind of thing, but it's also very effective too.
Yeah, maybe.
Another debate.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Richard? I think it's a really good question, and I wish I had a good answer for you. I think it's a good tip that John gave you. I mean, you're kind of in the thick of this just with us. Richard's a fellow SEO, so I know that it's something on the top of a lot of our minds. I know I've seen a lot of shifty things being done by some competitors of one of my clients, and it's frustrating because I don't like to play their game, but I'm seeing them win, yeah. And it's killing me. Google Places has to amp up its level. I mean, it's like back in 97 or something, and I've got to be ethical, which 97? I'm sorry, I was not nearly as ethical. that was the way you were.
But you didn't know you weren't ethical back then. Back then, it was just how it worked.
That was how it worked. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, burdened with knowing that I'm not doing the right thing if I follow them.
Yes. So what you can do if you're not sure if you're doing the right thing, especially you, Ross, with your young boy, is saying, would I teach my child to do it this way? And if you can say yes.
Xander.
Don't be a spammer, Xander.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, on that fun note, thanks so much, everyone, for being here today. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, who manages the SEO team at Sphere Interactive, you can follow us at Twitter. My ID is at Ross Dunn, and John's is?
At John Carcutt.
Great. Thanks for joining us today on SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Tune in next week, Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and webmasterradio.fm. Great. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Holidays are doubly important this year, so make your celebrations doubly special. At Kroger, we've got a huge selection of high-quality meats on top of fresh, natural produce, like fresh, never-frozen prime-grade beef and our Simple Truth organic Brussels sprouts, or delicious king crab legs with our private selection gourmet potatoes. Whew, had to say that doubly fast. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.